Good afternoon, folks. It's April 20th, and we're pleased you're joining us at Beyond the Buzzer. I'm Zach Bodenstein with Sammy Abdo and Ryan Orlecki, and today our team will be taking you through the need-to-know scoop on your sports on East York, Toronto, and around the world. It's a rainy 7 degrees in Toronto today as we inch towards consistent spring weather, and we'll be back shortly after a quick message from our sponsors.
Crosby, McDavid, huh? Price, Burns, Tavares. They didn't become the best on their own, we helped. To become the face of a sport, an icon, you need one thing. They all wear that one thing, CCM. Become the face. Do you want to make it, or do you want to become the best?
Open your ears and get ready for a heavy dose of sports as we head into the 10:30 news. The Leafs dropped a critical 5-4 thriller to the Washington Capitals at the Air Canada Centre last night as the Caps even the series at 2 games apiece. 4 of the 5 Washington goals were scored in the first period as they held a 4-1 lead after 20 minutes. It was all uphill for Toronto in the final 2 stanzas. They tried to put together a late rally with 2 goals in the 3rd frame, but costly mistakes held them back. The Leafs need to clean it up after committing 29 giveaways to Washington's 9. It didn't help Frederik Andersen as he only stopped 22 of the 27 shots that he faced. The series is now officially a best of 3, where it shifts back to Washington for Friday night's pivotal Game 5. You could watch the game on CBC at 7 p.m. or head on down to Maple Leaf Square to cheer on the Buds with the rest of the diehards. But they're not the only local team in the midst of a tied playoff series, so let's send it over to Sammy, who's got the slam dunk on the Raptors in their first round matchup.
Thanks, Zach. The Raptors will look to take back home court advantage against the Milwaukee Bucks. After losing Game 1, the Raptors roared back to win Game 2 at home, 106-100. The Raptors will take on the Bucks tonight at the BMO Harris-Bradley Center. The Raptors will have to contain Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is averaging 26 points, 12 rebounds, and 5 assists and has been dominant. Kyle Lowry, who had 22 points and seemed to find his groove again, will have to continue his hot shooting if the Raptors want to win on the road. The game will tip off at 8, and you can catch the game on TSN. Now to Ryan with baseball.
The Toronto Blue Jays beat the Boston Red Sox last night 3-0. All 3 runs for the Jays came in the 2nd inning thanks to RBI singles from Darwin Barney, which played a 2, and Carrera, which scored the 3rd run. Francisco Liriano improved to 1-1 of the season, and Rick Porcello fell to 1-2. Roberto Osuna picked up his first save of the season in the win. The Toronto Blue Jays are 3-11 on the season, while the Red Sox have a decent record at 9-6. But in less than 15 hours after the game last night, the Blue Jays and Red Sox will be at it again in the rubber matchup. The Red Sox will throw the dominant left-hander Chris Sale against the consistent Mercury Strata. Sale has only let up 3 earned runs over 21 and two-thirds of an inning this year, while striking out 29 batters. Estrada will be looking for his first win of the season. First pitch is at 12:37 p.m. Stay with us, because coming up in Beyond the Buzzer, we'll look deep into the world of youth sport and concussions sustained within. Stay with us, because coming up in Beyond the Buzzer, we'll dig deep into the world of youth sport. Okay. Stay with us, because coming up in Beyond the Buzzer, we'll look deep into the world of youth sport and concussions sustained within.
Be like Mike, introducing the Air Jordan 1 Retro OG with the All-Star colorway. Black and silver made from premium leather. Unique, stylish, a new spin on a classic. Release your inner All-Star. Take flight, Jordan.
Hi again, I'm Zach Bodenstein with Sammy Abdo and Ryan Orlecki, and you're listening to Beyond the Buzzer live from the East York campus of Centennial College. In this segment of the show, we start with an issue affecting parents and youth sport participants across the country. Concussions have skyrocketed across Canada in youth sports. The majority of emergency room visits are due to youth sport injuries, and the majority of those injuries are head injuries. I sat down with youth sport injury expert Dr. Carolyn Emery, who is coming up with new strategies to keep the game safe while keeping parents reassured.
Say to these worried parents that are constantly pulling their children out of youth sports, because, you know, I've even seen it. So, well, you know, what would be your advice of encouragement for them?
Yeah. Well, I think it's our kids are going to love the sports they love. And I think it's important to make sure that that younger generation is staying active. And actually, those kids who are participating more in sport and who are more active are actually at lower risk overall when we look across across all sports. And so I think we need to moderate the risk in different ways. And I think we need to let our kids be active and be reasonable about the decisions we make if our kids have suffered a concussion. And make sure that they don't go back to play until they've been cleared. Make sure we understand the repercussions long-term of going back too early.
So although progress has been made, do you think minor sports could, you know, further prevent head injuries? So I know you spoke a little bit about modifying the helmets. Can you talk a little bit about that and just as a whole trying to promote the whole safe play?
Yeah, so I think that there's different approaches. Equipment is one. We are understanding more about helmet fit. As I said, we're doing more work in that area, working with biomechanics, actually to understand forces and how we can ameliorate the forces that lead to concussion. I think that there's strategies related to rules of the game, both rules around practicing, as in football, some of the work that's going on to moderate contacts, number of contacts in practices, and other strategies around technique. I think we've got more work to do in those areas. I think that there's, low-hanging fruit in ice hockey to have a huge impact was to adjust the rules related to body checking and at what age and what level of play they're introduced.
Mm-hmm. So, we always see these kids missing school time or kind of falling into depression, for lack of a better term, because of concussion. So what do you think schools and guidance counselors can do to kind of moderate that and help them with that and really accommodate to concussions, get a little bit more sensitive to them?
Yeah, well, I think they need to be more aware. There are online training tools like the Concussion Awareness Training Tool that's very appropriate for coaches and for teachers to learn more about the evidence related to concussion and to be more aware of some of the accommodations that are going to be necessary to help kids get back and into full force when they're fatigued and they're not able to function in the way that they were prior to the concussion.
Now, with symptoms, is it more severe on a younger and developing mind than a full-grown mind, or does it not make a difference?
Well, I think it varies, and we're understanding more about that. Certainly, it seems like very young children don't seem to have the severity or the duration of symptoms that adolescents do. So I think it's varied, and I think it's dependent on the other risk factors that they hold within understanding long-term recovery. Yeah.
Well, thanks for your time. We appreciate everything you do, and thanks for,
thanks for
coming
that.
Out.
Yeah, thank
All right,
you.
Thank you. Appreciate
thank
it.
You guys.
Nice to meet you, too.
Thanks. Nice to meet you. Okay.
So, obviously, concussions are such a hot topic these days. You know, we've all played sports as a kid, and obviously we're trying to eliminate these as much as possible. We see them skyrocket. So, have any of you guys had a concussion? I know I have, and obviously the symptoms aren't great. Going through some stuff, do you guys have any experiences you can talk about or anyone you know?
Never personally had a concussion, but I just want to ask you, how did that happen? How did you get a concussion?
It actually happened twice. I was playing hockey, and the first time was on a really dangerous hit. I was 13 years old, and I blacked out, and then I went to the hospital after. And then the second time, I didn't step forward about it, and I continued playing because it was the last series of my career because hockey was going to end at that point. And when I was driving, the Allen turns into Dufferin when you're heading north, and I was concussed and I didn't know what was going on. I thought I made a wrong turn. Everything was going wrong. And then after I stepped up and told people about it when hockey was done. But ultimately I had a lot of headaches for the next year and a half or so. And, I just had to be in a dark room and all that stuff. It's not a good time. And especially at a younger age, you want to try and eliminate these injuries for sure.
Yeah. And I remember my brother had he had multiple concussions from hockey, from baseball. And yeah, that's what we literally had to do. My mom had to wake him up every couple hours, but he had to stay in a dark room. And it's really unfortunate that that's really, it's not like the main thing they're still going on, but that's, there's not that much progress yet, right? Like, there's new protocols and stuff. Like, there's safer precautions that people take in hockey and baseball when you get a concussion. But as far as the recovery process, it's not, we're not like up there yet. We don't actually have a cure for concussions, right?
Right, and they are working on it. So that was Dr. Carolyn Emery. She's an expert in youth sport injuries who's searching for a new way to keep the game safe through her research. And she spoke to me at the Bruising Your Brain seminar hosted by Ontario Brain.
Thanks, Zach. With the NBA playoffs in full swing, the excitement for basketball is at an all-time high. For some, basketball is more than just a sport. I sat down with the founders of Generation Chosen, Dwayne Brown and Joseph Smith, who use basketball as a tool to help black youth.
Why do you use basketball to educate?
A lot of the men flock because basketball, so that's the carrot at the end of the stick. Mm-hmm. Reel them in and we can do other things with them. Exactly. So hopefully very soon we can have something that is appealing to women specifically, and then that can be an offshoot.
Oh. Basketball is like totally a teaching form. Like you can teach perseverance. You could teach
teamwork,
yeah. Commitment, so
sacrifice.
Many things.
Yep. Sacrificing yep. yourself for the greater good. Mm-hmm. But those values aren't always presented mm-hmm. in a salient manner. They're usually kind of undercover, and people just play ball and just have fun and go home. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to do it from a teaching standpoint, we're going to have to expose some of those more important values.
Absolutely. And I feel like bringing these young men here to play basketball, it's allowing them to forget about the stresses outside at home, mm-hmm. forget about the school stresses. It's a form of catharsis. Like they can, it's an outlet. And each week, we changed the format of the program. So each month we focus on a different topic. So this month coming up, so March is going to be financial literacy. Mm-hmm. Last month was relationships and STIs. And so we try to teach them attract them through basketball.
Yeah.
To fill their heads with something so they're not leaving with nothing, you know?
Yeah, especially content that isn't readily available to them in like an instructional day, right? Because sometimes teachers are unwilling to tackle some of these topics like STIs and sex and relationships in a classroom or financial literacy. There's not really a curriculum built into the system to do that, so try to help.
And so what other activities do you do with the kids besides basketball?
Want to jump on this?
So we do outings. One outing that's coming up is a bowling outing. All of us are going to get together and go bowling. We went to the Argos game before where we went to the Toronto 905 Raptors 905 game. Mm-hmm.
Went to CNE. So, and all this was free. They all got sponsored to go. So the Argos game we went to in the summertime. We got Jamal, I think his last name's Crawford. It's bad. I should remember that for sure. But a guy we went to York University with, he now plays for the Argos, heard about the program, what we're doing in the community. He also went to CW Jeffries. And then he just sponsored the entire program with tickets to the Argos game and then free tickets to CNE twice. Mm-hmm. So we got to we had to carpool and we had to get vans and cars all assembled and on point so we can go. But we got those tickets for free. We got 905 basketball game tickets. So we just keep trying to plan something once a month, twice a month to take them out.
And we're going camping in May?
In May, we're trying to go camping. Yeah. To really take them out of their comfort zones. Yeah. And so we could actually do more fundamental things.
Yeah. And how do you guys organize that? You guys have jobs, how do you take the time out to organize all this?
Oh, so like I have a dummy that poses as me in the daytime and then I get to sleep and then it comes. No. It's just, if you're committed to something bigger than yourself, you reach deep down and try to find the energy. It's hell sometimes. It's aggravating, stressful. But when you see their faces, when you see that they feel comfortable in revealing private aspects of their life to you on a weekly basis, you realize that if I wasn't here, who would they be able to divulge that information to? So that kind of gets you out of your bed or gets you to stop moaning and griping over it. It's kind of like, who the hell else would they be able to talk to and tell their stories to and like release some burdens that they carry?
And we also both have supportive partners, you know, mm-hmm. who encourage us when we're on E, they're, you can do this.
Yeah.
And they help us in many aspects of the program.
Yeah. So it looks good on a Tuesday night, but like the week after the program until the program day, I'm complaining, I'm crying, I'm like upset, I'm angry. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. Yeah. But we just don't know, like, if we weren't here, who would be doing this?
Well, that's an unbelievable story, Sammy, and congrats for doing it. I was really intrigued by it personally. It sends an unbelievable message, mm-hmm. and it's a great opportunity for kids. I just had a question, though. What topics do they learn in this program? Because obviously it could vary, and there's a lot of them.
Yeah, so they do it on a month-by-month basis. So when I went, they were talking about financial literacy, just teaching kids how to spend money properly because, again, there is the stereotype that black kids like to spend recklessly. So they just try to teach kids about budgeting and just taking care of the money. And the month after that, they were going to talk about relationships and STIs, which is, again, another problem in the black community. So this is, again, just teaching young kids what they should know.
And what I like about that is that they're actually giving you life lessons mm-hmm. rather than just math problems and that kind of stuff. So it actually helps you in the real world in a big way. So I mean, I really like that personally, and I think that's a really good opportunity for those kids.
Do you have any personal experiences with the program?
Yeah, so one of the kids that actually goes to the program, I actually grew up with, and I met him when I went there, and he had come in February. I went in March, and so we talked, and I asked him, like, you know, how did you get involved? And he just told me that, you know, he wanted to play basketball. He just wanted to ball out. That was his only career. And he just saw that all these kids coming to this one area. He's like, what's going on? And he didn't realize at the time that it was more than just basketball. So once Joseph and Dwayne started to come in and talk to him, he actually decided to stay with the program and sort of develop and build relationships with the other kids, which is, again, the whole point of the program, not just playing basketball.
Yeah. I just have one more question. Is it like a classroom setting, or is it like a more of an interactive type of setting?
So, they hold these sessions in the gym at Emory Collegiate, and basically they bring all the kids together. And at first, before they start playing basketball or anything, they sit them down and they just talk about all the topics that they need to talk about. And then after that, Dwayne and Joseph, they start playing basketball with the kids. So Dwayne will be on one side, Joseph will be on the other side, and they'll get all the kids to play basketball together. And it builds relationships. These guys are like the little brothers to Dwayne and Joseph, and it's really like amazing to see these young kids look up to these guys because they're educators. And so this is like another bridge, so there's no disconnect. These guys are real role models. They're not rappers, not gangsters, not dealing drugs, none of that. They got real careers, and they're really helping these kids. So that's a beautiful thing.
Wow, that's something that could be taken into like an actual classroom setting, because people with like ADHD or something, you know, they have that interactive focus, and you could do something instead of just sitting in a classroom for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, exactly.
And not to mention sports at a young age teach you a lot of morals as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
So that was Joseph Smith and Dwayne Brown, founders of Generation Chosen, explaining how basketball can be used to help black youth. They spoke to me during one of their sessions, Helping Black Youth. We'll be back.
Co-founder of IRIS Technologies, Director of Product Development, Connor Ross, along with his team, have been developing a computer monitor that people suffering from concussions can use during the recovery process. I had a chance earlier to speak to Connor about the computer monitor and its development.
So we co-founded IRIS in the summer of 2015, and we did that through this program at Queens called QICSI. Queen's Innovation Connector Summer Initiative, where basically the point of it, they take 40 kids in the summer, give you some business training for startups and a little bit of startup cash, and just say basically, like, as long as it's not illegal, go for it. And they really harped on like focusing on a big problem and trying to find a meaningful solution to something that affects lots of people and not just kind of a lemonade stand idea. So here we are, and looking back, maybe we were a little naive to start something in hardware and health tech.
Yeah.
Like probably two toughest areas to start a business in, but plugging away so far, and really we were just focused on, all of us in the founding team had had either themselves or a friend or a family member suffer from a serious concussion or knew someone who lives with chronic migraines. Mm-hmm. And so the problem resonated really with all of us, and it's a lot easier to spend so many hours and work so hard on something when it's a problem that you care about. So
that is true. As the director of product development, what's your role in the business?
So there's two of us now, so that it changes every day, basically. Oh, yeah. We're trying to, there's so much to do and so many, so we wear lots of hats kind of, but for the most part it is somewhat split. Colin takes care of a lot more of the business stuff. I've worked a lot more on the product side of things, so being involved with and managing the team that helped us build our product, figuring out the supply chain and operations of that, and bringing it to life and starting out the research trials, which are ongoing right now. So.
Okay. So you produced this like a counter LCD screen that people can use when they have concussions.
Mm-hmm.
What made you think of this idea?
We were looking at kind of the benefits of e-paper, which is the same tech that's in Kindles and Kobos. It works differently than LCD screens. It's actually more of a physical apparatus kind of. The screen that's sitting there is stationary. It's not producing any light. It's almost like a magnetic ink that sits below the surface of the screen.
Right.
So we knew that computer intolerance was really difficult and a really big problem amongst all these groups. And we were trying to think of ways that you could use your computer without having to look at a bright shining light all the time, essentially. So we started looking at e-paper, and we ran some kind of preliminary case studies. We hacked together a solution on a Kindle, just on the little 6-inch screen, but we made a Kindle mirror your computer screen, and then we took that around to people who had concussions and saw that it was a benefit. They just wanted a bigger screen, and so then we basically worked on this guy for about a year and a half, various prototypes along the way, but what we have now is a 13-inch monitor that mirrors your computer screen and allows you to do whatever you do on it, essentially, instead of your computer without, we believe anyway, without dealing with the symptoms that an LCD screen can cause during recovery.
So Zach, I know you're the only one at the table that has had a concussion. So this secondary computer monitor that they believe you can use while you have a concussion during your recovery process, because it's not emitting those flashing pixels from an LCD screen. It uses e-paper. So it's like I remember Connor described it, it's like literally reading a newspaper, but on a screen. How do you think that this would help your recovery process?
I think it would help a lot. I think, since I never got treated or diagnosed, and which was naive of me, I think that the main route to my headaches were artificial light, because I would be in the dark and I would try and treat it myself, but I would get really bored. So I would go on a computer or phone, which obviously isn't the proper steps to curing a concussion or treating a concussion, I should say. So I think that would help immensely, because one, you'd keep yourself occupied, and two, you wouldn't be doing yourself any harm. So, you know, it's a win-win situation. And obviously that's what they're striving for at IRIS. So, I mean, I'm a really big fan of it. I did speak to Connor as well. So he has a lot of good ideas, and hopefully they can get this going as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And they talked about this screen being for people who have concussions. Is there a market for people for it to be for other people?
Yeah, it's also for people with migraines or eye strain, you know. Even say you're a secretary and you're looking at a computer screen all day long at your work, like a dentist's office, you know, and that's an LCD screen. You can go home, and if you have other work to do, you can take this out and, you know, you just have an e-paper screen, you know. You can use this at like any time of your life. So, yeah, it's just a good break from that LCD screen that you're so accustomed to doing at on work and stuff like that. And yeah, like he plans to market it out through private sales, but also through like hospitals, business organizations, take home to work programs, stuff like that. But there is definitely a market for all the audience. Yeah. So yeah, that was co-founder of Iris Technologies and director of product development, Connor Ross. Along with his team, he's been developing a computer monitor that people suffering from concussions can use during their recovery process. He spoke to me earlier regarding the project. Big thanks to all our listeners for checking in with Beyond the Buzzer. Be sure to follow us on Twitter if you haven't already at Beyond the Buzzer. We will meet again tomorrow at 10:30 for everyone here at Beyond the Buzzer. I'm Ryan Lucky, and I hope you have a great night.